There are only two events that are recorded in all four Gospels. Only two. One of them is the feeding of the 5,000, and the other is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem that we call Palm Sunday. Jesus has been in the wilderness of Perea, which is modern Jordan. He's been in the southern deserts around the Dead Sea for 6 months. Jesus knew this territory. He was baptized here. He was tempted by the devil here. This is the place John the Baptist had hung out. And Jesus had been there for 6 months. And Jesus was doing what Jesus does. He was healing things no one else could heal. He was casting out demons. He was teaching. And what you got to understand about Jesus is Jesus isn't like giving people vitamins and aspirin. Jesus is healing people of things no doctor could address. Jesus is healing lepers who are clearly afflicted with Hansen's disease. Jesus is healing the blind. Jesus is opening ears that couldn't hear. Jesus is strengthening limbs that couldn't walk. And with every miracle Jesus does, he gives someone their life back. Here's what I need you to hear today. Anytime somebody truly meets Jesus, they get their life back. And one at a time, these people flock to him. Now, Jesus has already raised Lazarus from the dead. And he's already sent out 70 preachers. I think one of the big misconceptions we have about Jesus is that Jesus walked along and 12 people followed him. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Hundreds of people follow Jesus. As I said, he's already sent out 70 evangelists. Those of you that are reading the New Testament with me, it's completely clear from Luke that Jesus picked the 12 out of a much, much larger pool. Where Jesus goes, there are people. And in these last 6 months, the crowd grows and grows and grows. Jesus is now as famous in Jerusalem as he had been in Galilee. And people love the idea of him. Do you know what I'm talking about? That they love the idea of Jesus? Sometimes we like the idea of Jesus more than we love Jesus himself. Everybody wants to make Jesus the lovely spokesmodel for all of their diametrically opposed causes these days. But Jesus isn't your spokesmodel, and he's not my spokesmodel. Jesus isn't anything other than who he is. We don't hire Jesus. He's never been for sale. Everybody in Jerusalem had attached their own hopes and their dreams to Jesus. And on this day, Jesus is headed toward Jerusalem. He will not leave before he's crucified. The walk between Jericho and the Mount of Olives is about 16 miles. It takes about 6 hours to walk because you're climbing. It's about a 3,500 feet climb. He's going up to the Mount of Olives. You got to remember, Jesus is in boats some. He rides a donkey on Palm Sunday, but Jesus walks everywhere. If you had to walk everywhere, think of how much time you would spend walking. He walks everywhere. And on this day, he is walking this dangerous road from Jericho that leads to Jerusalem. Our last trip, we went on the road. It is a mountain road. And when I say mountains, please don't think of trees. Think of sand and desolation. But it's this mountain road. And in Jesus' day, it was a dangerous road. Not even the Romans could keep that road safe from bandits. The story of the Good Samaritan happens on that road that Jesus is walking on this day. And then he ends up at the Mount of Olives. It's 2,600 feet above sea level, meaning it stands 300 feet higher than Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives offers this panoramic view of the holy city. When we go on our Israel trips, our group photo is always taken on the Mount of Olives. And behind us is the city of Jerusalem. We always go to the same spot, and so do all the other pilgrims. In fact, there's a guy with a camel there. You can pay a buck and get a photo of you and the camel. You can pay $5 to ride, but if you give him 10, he's really happy. About a mile and a half east and 30 feet below where we stood for our biannual photo op, Jesus mounted a borrowed colt, and he rode west. It would not be a long ride. As word gets out that Jesus is riding toward town, people gather in mass to greet him. Some of his people, no doubt, had gone ahead. They had the words of the prophet Zechariah in their ears. See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. Now, riding on a donkey into a town is what kings did in times of peace. In times of war, they rode a war horse. There had to be people wondering why Jesus wasn't on a war horse. But regardless, riding into town on a donkey was no small thing. Jesus is entering Jerusalem through the eastern gate, now sealed, and he's headed straight toward the temple. The masses would interpret this as a claim to the messiahship, and they would immediately associate this action with military revolution. They'd been waiting their whole lives for this moment. Messiahs had come and messiahs had gone. Was this the one? The temple establishment would interpret this as a riot in waiting. It would lead to a loss of Jewish lives, perhaps hundreds and hundreds. And more importantly to them, it would lead to a loss of their own power base. The Jewish establishment only had power to the extent the Romans cared to give it to them. And speaking of the Romans, they watched with a careful eye. Because if things got out of hand, their procedure was clear. They'd crush the insurrection. They'd kill anyone who resisted. They'd crucify the ringleaders, and they would work it from there. They did it all the time. The disciples, I don't think they had a clue as to what was going on. I don't think they had a clue as to how things would shake down. They don't seem to get it until later. In fact, the only people that seem to get Jesus during his lifetime are the demon-possessed and the establishment. The demon-possessed and the demons inside them seem to know that Jesus was a real problem for them. And the establishment seemed to know that Jesus was a real problem for them. The disciples are just trying to figure it all out. If you want to figure it out, Jesus is on a collision course with the temple. He is the irresistible force about to collide with the immovable object. The second Jesus rides through that eastern gate, also called the Golden Gate, there is no turning back. He is at the point of no return. It's like you died and went to a Kansas song. The people are about to celebrate Jesus for who they think he is. And they're about to celebrate Jesus for who they want him to be. Everything about this situation is dangerous. Everything about this situation is dangerous. What will the people do when they find out Jesus isn't a political revolutionary? What are they going to do when they find out the kingdom he's been promising isn't going to happen in time and space? Well, we're going to find out soon enough what they'll do. In anticipation, the people have gathered in parade-like fashion, some laying their cloaks on the street, others grasping palm branches. For the second time in his ministry, people are ready to make Jesus king, and this time it looks like he's going to accept it. Or is he? When the multitudes spot Jesus riding over the ridge of the Mount of Olives down into the Kidron Valley, they break into jubilation. The temple establishment seethes, and the Roman soldiers watch from the fortress Antonia with their fingers on their swords. Jerusalem's powder keg. Jesus of Nazareth is a match on a donkey. Some Pharisees approached Jesus as he's coming into town. He said, Jesus, send your people home. Don't you see what's going to happen? Don't you see the carnage that's going to take place? Tell these people to go home. And Jesus looked at him and he says, if I send them home, the rocks will cry out. They were powerless to stop him. And so the one man prayed, cracks on through the gate and into the city. And all of a sudden, Jesus begins to weep. He begins to weep. His heart is for the people. Jerusalem is about to turn on him. And within 4 decades, the city will be taken to the ground by the Romans. And the beautiful temple that was the center of Jewish life will be destroyed, and it has never been rebuilt. All we have of that temple today is the teaching steps and the Western Wall that we visit every time we go to Israel. The teaching steps are the best Jesus site in Israel. He was there. He taught on those steps that we stand on. The Western Wall is sometimes called the Wailing Wall. Now, the disciples had to be wondering why Jesus is crying on this day of his triumph. Some questions you don't ask because you really don't want to know the answer. The Greek suggests that the city was shaking like a city in an earthquake, like a city in a devastating earthquake. Jerusalem was shaking. Jesus enters the outer court of the temple, and all of a sudden, they begin to bring the sick and lame to him. The desperate come to him. The people whose arms are reaching toward him, the people who don't have a chance at a life apart from Jesus are coming to him, and he heals every one of them. Whatever Jesus had, he still has. God was with him. It was undeniable. And for the establishment, that was always the problem. And on this day, it was a bigger problem than ever. The masses are declaring Jesus to be the Messiah sent from God. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The fuse has been lit, the line has been crossed. So let's take just a second to see what's actually in front of us. Do the people crying Hosanna understand what's actually happening? No. Do they realize Jesus is a spiritual Messiah and not a political one? No. Will this play out like anybody hopes? No. Will the entire city soon turn on Jesus? Yes. Is it part of God's plan? There's not a person there but Jesus that has any idea. But today, Palm Sunday, it's a good day. The triumphal entry was a good day. All of salvation history has converged upon this single Jesus of Nazareth riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. In this one place, in this one moment, at this one time, humanity is actually worshiping Jesus Christ. And some days you just take a win because you can get it. And today is that day. Soon Jesus is going to be shattered like the hopes of the people who now jubilantly cry his name. But on this day, why don't you and me just fall to our knees? Why don't we just pour out our pain and our brokenness and let Jesus fill us? Why don't we just worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? For in this moment, we too get it. And in this moment, it's all so clear to us. Jesus, the Son of God, is the Messiah. It is he who came to save us. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Today's a good day. Good days don't make bad days go away, but they are good. They are good. Let Jesus remember you today. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we come like the people of Jerusalem came together in hundreds of places. Some of us have experienced great loss this week. Some have experienced tragedy. Some are fighting disease. Some just hurt. Others are confused. But we're all desperate. Dear God, we are so desperate for Jesus. We need him so much. As we prepare to worship him with your tithes and our offerings, remind us that when we run to Jesus, his arms are wide open. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.